Hello and welcome to, I believe it's episode 47 of the Back to Front show. How are you doing, Kieran?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, it's doing really well since the episode we recorded last week.
Yep.
Yeah, it's been, feels like a long week though, if I'm honest.
It does. It's one of those things, isn't it? You, maybe it's a time of year.
Yeah, that sort of changing of the seasons.
Yeah, yeah.
What our North American friends would call fall approaching.
Indeed, yes.
What do we call it? Autumn.
Autumn. Yeah.
That autumnal feeling. Ooh, it's getting a bit autumnal.
It is.
Talking of which, have you put the heating on yet?
Yes, once.
Really?
Yeah. Mainly to test it.
Oh, well, of course. You've moved in the last week, haven't you?
I have, yes, yeah. Since we last spoke, I have actually moved house. It's a very speedy move.
Yeah, it's amazing how quick the kind of completion exchange process happens in the UK.
That's incredibly fast, yeah, in under 7 days. You can find a house, buy it and move.
That's the sort of thing where you should probably refer to it in hours, not days and weeks, really.
Probably, yeah.
You know, when you have a child and it's, they're 3 days, they're 6 weeks, they're 12 weeks. And then at some point you decide that it should go into months. And
yes.
Then obviously you sort of stop caring, really.
Yeah, you do.
You do the annual celebration.
At that awkward phase at the moment when he's neither 2 or 18 months.
That's a tricky one.
He's in no man's land. So people say, how old is he? And what do you say? You can't say 19 months. That's just terrible.
It doesn't really, yeah. So,
and then everyone goes, what?
Well, then you sort of say, well, he's going to be 2 in January, and then January seems a long way off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
there must be some sort of official edict, maybe from the government, because they've not got much else to do at the moment. On how to deal with those sort of tricky situations around young people's age.
Well, either it would be the government or Mumsnet.
Mumsnet.
One or the other, they would be able to tell us, I'm sure.
I am surprised you know about Mumsnet. Are you a lurker on the Mumsnet forum?
No, but I have a close personal friend who regularly visits the Mumsnet community.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. I'm trying to think if you mean me. No, you don't mean me.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Okay. Well, it's not that frequent.
Is it?
No. Now and again. Purely for research.
Just research purposes, right. Mm. Okay.
Yeah. So, what have you got? A nice little pied-à-terre? 2 up, 2 down?
Yeah, 2 up, 2 down.
Yeah.
A standard issue.
Any hipster installments happening? Any sort of log burning?
Oh, wood burners already in place, yeah.
Yeah.
Wood burners all in. And got to get it checked out by, you know, a man.
A man who can.
Yeah, exactly. Plumbed
in the espresso machine?
No, I haven't got a plumbed-in espresso machine. Once the kitchen's redone, I might be, you know, I'd be tempted by a purchase.
Mm. Are you going to go on record and saying this is the house for at least the next 6 months, or?
Well, I don't like to be tied down, Keir.
I do know you have moved since I've known you. I worked this out about 6 times.
At least, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It's It's expensive.
I would think it's approaching some sort of a problem.
Well, easy.
No?
I don't know. Is it diagnosable? You know,
chronic... I've diagnosed that you've moved 6 times since I've known you. And that
chronic moving syndrome.
Yeah. CMS.
CMS. I think this is it for us.
Really?
We said that last time.
You did.
But this is it for a bit.
Okay.
I can't do up another house.
No.
After this one.
Your knees can't take it, or your back.
No, definitely my back.
Yeah. So, audio fidelity might be a little lacking.
Horrific.
Due to, why?
Well, because my microphone's in a box somewhere, obviously.
Did you not get the old Sharpie out? A mark on the box.
No, we were very slack with that. There's a lot of boxes that just say bedroom.
Bedroom, yeah.
Living room.
Not helpful.
Not got a clue what's in them.
Exactly. Oh, well.
Yeah. But anyway.
We shall do.
I'm sure one day audio fidelity will return, but until then you can, you know, put up with Apple headphones.
Oh, have you got those, the buds?
No, obviously I've just got a standard issue wired pair with built-in mic.
One of the funniest things in recent times is finding people who have bought the buds, justifying the purchase. is one of the best things. Happened to me a couple times recently. And, you know, what are they, $150 or something? Yeah, but I mean,
something like that.
You open the little box, your phone recognizes them. How beautiful is that an experience?
Yeah, like, lovely.
But do they work? No.
Okay, yeah.
So anyways, talking of Apple, I thought we'd name the show in honor of the latest releases. This is the Back to Front Show X edition.
Oh, Back to Front Show 10.
Back to Front Show 10, yes, true. I suppose that's what it is.
Yeah.
We glass-fronted, glass-backed.
Yeah.
No home button. That kind of feels about right.
Expensive.
Yeah. I think if you're listening to this, the invoice will be in the post. It'll be the same in dollars as in GBP. And tipping over £1,000 now for a phone.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think of that?
Well, I mean, have you ever bought one outright?
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
I've never done it. I've never taken the plunge, but I suspect it'll be 60-odd quid a month for a contract, which is pretty... It's getting up there, isn't it?
Yeah, so the way... when I last did one on the Never Never, or the two-year Never Never, I think it was... They split the bill. So you pay for... This was at O2 in the UK. They split the bill between sort of £25 for the contract and then £25 for the phone.
Yeah.
So it was like about... Yeah, £600 for the phone, which is kind of crazy, isn't it?
It's mental, yeah.
But then, yeah, I...
when you consider what technology goes into them now, you know, I mean, but they are getting up there to the sort of MacBook territory, aren't they?
Well, in price, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, what did I do with the last one? Yeah, no, I dropped my phone, ironically, on my wedding day, and the screen smashed, as you may recall.
Yes.
And... which I'd had about 3 or 4 years. It was an old iPhone 5S, I think.
It was, You really use your iPhones out, don't you? Like you see them out. You don't spot a really you know sexy new release and go, oh, whatever, I'll just buy that.
No, you
wear them into the ground.
Yeah, literally in that case.
Yeah.
But
I want a strict 2 year cycle.
You are, aren't you? You used to be like that with your MacBooks as well.
Oh, I still am, yeah.
But I can one-up you on that, because I have the MacBook with the world's most expensive volume control.
Have you?
Yeah, you know.
Oh, not the silly thing.
Yeah.
Oh.
I know. It's really good volume control.
Well, luckily my laptop that was provided to me doesn't have such a thing.
Yeah. Well, my other one broke, and I needed one, and it happened to be that one. So it's kind of good. Had to drop a good 100 quid on connectors.
Yeah, yeah.
Various modifiers for plugs, but, you know, got there in the end.
Yeah.
And,
a bit embarrassing getting that out of wherever you need it, isn't it? This big sort of dongle on the side of your beautiful laptop just because you haven't got a USB port.
I know. And, I'm not very impressed by the lack of MagSafe connector, to be honest. I've almost... Poor Gavin the other day almost took his laptop with me when I was with the gentleman's. You seen Australian plugs? Gavin Ballard, friend of the show, Sir Gavin Ballard. Check him out in the club.
Yeah.
I've never seen an Australian plug before.
No, I haven't seen an Australian plug.
It's interesting.
What's the crack with them?
They're kind of like an American plug, but the pins are kind of bent in on themselves, so they're sort of pointed.
Mm.
Yeah, apparently used in Australia, Argentina, and a couple of other countries. Had no idea.
No.
Yeah.
Fascinating times.
You almost sound sarcastic saying that. Absolutely shocking. So what else have you been up to? Oh, you're at Shopify now. Did we talk about this a week ago? I can't remember.
No, we didn't. I don't think so. I don't think we talked about it. I mean, obviously, you know, did a show very recently, but it just didn't come up for whatever reason.
So you're at Shopify, like me.
Apparently, yeah, yeah.
And I had nothing to do with it.
Well, not like you.
No, you're not like me.
At Shopify, but, you know.
It's a big company now.
It is a big company. Our paths don't cross.
No. We just have Slack access to each other now.
Yeah, we do, yeah.
Yeah.
Which we had before, to be fair.
We did, but yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't really use it too much. Anyways. But, what are you doing there then?
I am I'm in Merchant Success in Plus. Ooh. Doing launch management, no less.
Launch management, is that like a big countdown clock and a big red button, or?
That's exactly what it is. Yes, the Carol Vorderman of Shopify.
So yeah, I've never really thought of you and Carol Vorderman kind of in the same breath, Kieran.
Have you not?
No.
No. I bet you thought of Carol Vorderman though.
Anyway, I've completely lost my train of thought now. What were you talking about?
Launch management.
Launch management. Oh, yeah. So it's not a big red button. It's just changing DNS settings, correct?
Yeah, that is correct. Yeah, that's all we do. Yeah, we just map your domain for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't know.
But so what's that? Working out coffee shops, feet up, cushions.
Yeah, pretty much.
Soft jazz in the background.
Yeah, that's the long and the short of it. Yeah. No, but seriously, basically, we help Plus merchants launch their stores. It's the long and the short of it.
And I do know that.
Being Shopify in a circle.
Well, I can't possibly talk about that, can I?
Obviously.
Yeah, I can neither confirm nor deny.
Nor deny whether you are Shopify in a circle.
Yeah. No, I'm certainly not in a circle. Probably like, you know, periphery, very much on the periphery.
M25.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There was actually talking about the M25, not that we'd planned to, but there was a very good video recently that I found about if you actually live in London and all the definitions of London. I'll put it in the show notes because that's actually very funny. For anyone who's from there or lived there, it rings very much true. But anyways, good time. So Shopify, so you're taking your designated lunch break to record this, I'm assuming.
Obviously, yeah. This is my, you know, 1 till 2.
Yeah, 1 till 2.
Exactly. My shift clock in, clock out.
Yeah, exactly. That hole punching, ka-ching, ka-ching.
Yeah, like the Flintstones.
Yeah. Have you ever worked anywhere that had one of those?
No, thank goodness. Have you?
I have.
Really?
Yes.
Well, like a proper punch card thing.
Yeah, it wasn't like it, you know, like one of those old school 1950s computer things with holes in. It wasn't quite like that, but it literally did stamp the time. This was when I worked at the Albert Hall back in the... Ooh, mid to late 90s.
And,
you had to literally, yeah, everyone had a card and you had to literally punch it in, punch it out. And I had to do the timekeeping. So mark out how many hours. They're so-called casual workers. I think they call them zero-hour contractor workers these days.
Oh, yes.
And if people were more than, I think they had a 4-minute grace, then you could knock off an hour's pay or something ridiculous. It's kind of crazy. Wow. Yeah. But I was probably too kind-hearted to do that.
Probably.
Yeah. But talking of the Canada, as you were, Shopify.
Obviously, yeah. Shopify.
150 years old, Canada.
It is. Were you there for the event, for the big...
Not for the actual, was it July 1st, whenever Canada Day
something
is?
Something like that, yeah.
A day that I'm sure you worked through. You didn't take that off, did you?
No, I didn't.
Exactly.
No, of course not.
No, wouldn't do that.
UK bank holidays only.
Yeah. Do you know why they're called bank holidays?
Oh. I assume because the bank isn't open.
Okay. So what came first, the bank closing or the holiday? I mean, that's a, you know.
Well, that's a chicken and egg question, isn't it?
Well, yes. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, 150 years. So they had some celebrations in Ottawa. Very nice. Had big mechanical dragons and spiders walking through the town.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice. I think I saw that on the Instagrams.
Yeah, all over the gram, that was.
Yeah.
Over the IG.
Very impressive.
It was actually. Very good.
Wouldn't get that in Bradford Avon.
Oh, so you've now told everyone where you've moved to?
I thought
trying to keep that quiet for our three listeners.
Oh, sorry.
You don't want people stalking you in the coffee shops? I mean, there are only three.
There's more than three.
Are there more than three?
Yeah.
What's that one we met in? That was quite nice.
I can't remember. I don't know what its name is.
No.
It's in the Shambles.
In the Shambles. Shambles in the Shambles.
Indeed.
Yeah. Don't sit at the back if you do go there. No reception.
No reception, no. You've got to sit in the window seats.
Yeah. So you look like that kind of person who's working, but just more of a voyeur.
A voyeur, yeah. Yeah, a voyeur. People watching.
But yeah, Canada 150. If anyone's out there planning a trip this year, plenty of stuff going on. Lots
exciting
to do.
Times in Canada.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, what are we talking about this week?
Medium, again.
Well, yes. I mean, I know... A lot's happened in the last week that we could have talked about.
Yeah.
And we did talk about Medium on our last show a week ago.
Yes.
But since then, they have launched this new membership scheme. What do you think of that?
Well, I don't know. Is this just sort of final attempts to, you know, to monetize? Is it sort of clutching at straws? I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? So they've moved from the kind of what was it? You could sort of like it. You could heart an article, couldn't you? Now you can clap. I mean, do you think the heart to the clap is kind of is this a sort of 21st century jump of, you know, ingenuity? What do you think?
It's a disgrace that's even been described as innovation.
But you can clap more than once. I think with when you could heart something, you could like it. You could just do it.
It was
once
just
now.
Once. Whereas clapping, you know, is multiples.
Multiple claps. I mean,
yeah.
What do? Do you? I mean, is it when your finger gets tired? I mean, but you've also then got to, as a sort of marker to yourself, you've got to know, well, am I, you know, if I clap five on that one, is this a seven? Is it a three? I mean, surely everyone should sit down and work out what their own sort of...
Am I overclapping?
Is that a thing, yeah, you know, an OC? Well,
yeah.
Or what's your personal scale of clappage?
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? I mean... On a serious note, how does this sit alongside things like, say, The Guardian, who have obviously, you know, gone against the paywall idea but want to have some kind of, you know, means by which to support them and so ask for a subscription in return from regular readers, you know?
Well, I think one thing that The Guardian doesn't do particularly well
is have clapping.
Well, A, it doesn't have clapping, but B, I mean, they don't provide me with, you know, an article a day on the 12 things I should do before I have my protein-heavy breakfast. Yeah.
That is true.
There's none of that. There's no 58 insights from 32 remote CEOs on there.
No, there's no, you know, what do the top 10 CEOs in the valley do, you know, before bed?
Exactly.
Those kind of articles,
you know,
yeah.
Which, you know, top 38 books I should be reading in order to be more effective between the hours of 1 and 3 p.m., things like that. So I think The Guardian's got a bit to go, a bit to learn. And you know, maybe, you know.
You mean in terms of, you know, editorial integrity?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think it's struggling there a little bit, but yeah, no claps, no self-help, really, to speak of.
You know, the thing is, but you know, with the member-only content stuff, like, does that, you know, is this sort of like, we aren't a paywall, we are a paywall? Is it like a halfway house? Is that their plan?
So this is the thing. So you can pay five US dollars a month.
Uh-huh.
And you can be directly rewarding the stories that inspire, entertain, and move you.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, it is interesting, isn't it? I read somewhere on there about the kind of payouts that people could get. So this idea that you contribute, you're rewarding the writers, which I think is you know, there's a lot of merit in that, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I'm intrigued to see, you know, if this really does make a huge impact on sort of Medium as a platform for authors. I know we've talked a lot about it in the past, but I can't really see where this is going. Would I pay $5 a month for this? Have I paid it? No, not yet. Would I? Probably not, to be honest.
No. I value the open platform, you know, for people to write on and stuff, and I think that's really important. But you know, it's not publisher owned. There's no. I think we've touched on this before. There's no corporation that owns it that's trying to, you know, push their values onto the system. Well, obviously somebody owns Medium, but I mean, you know, the actual editorial content isn't controlled in any way.
Yeah.
You know. I suppose we should sort of. I think the features of this are meant to be that you can have sort of member-only content. That content can either just be new content, then you can push it out to the world after it's been member-only. They give you audio options, and you can sort stuff into collections now, can't you? So you could almost write a chapters or something.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and that's interesting.
You could do audio, you know, an audio, not an audio book, you know what I mean? Like read the blog out loud and record that. So I think they're kind of going for this. It's a paywall, but it's not a paywall, and mixed with a bit of Flatter, if you remember Flatter.
Yeah,
from the
exactly.
Guys who did Pirate Bay.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think, you know, the Flatter mechanism is actually one that I quite liked, the idea that you could float around the web and see things that you appreciated and reward the author for, you know, the creator for that. I really like that idea, but I tried to do Flatter, but it just didn't really work for me because if I'm on YouTube, there's no Flatter button, but maybe there is on the, on the creator's website underneath the embedded version of the video, but I don't use their website to access their content.
Yeah.
With Medium, obviously it's a platform as such, isn't it? Or it's a destination site. So you go to it and you're always going to be on that platform. So maybe that's great. But again, it doesn't solve the problem for me that I'm going to have a subscription with Medium just to give some money back to authors on Medium. But what if there's authors writing on other platforms?
Exactly.
And it's all, I don't know. And to be honest with you, if I'm looking to reward good editorial content that if you're writing about things that matter, I'm going to reward The Guardian with a subscription.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think this is a move though to purely get away from advertising? They've clearly taken a stance that advertising isn't the way forward, and we've talked again, probably rehashing old ground about advertising on websites. There seems to be two ways to make money, three kind of in the internet. You know, you have a product, you sell it, whether it be physical or digital. You advertise on your site, or you have some kind of subscription model to access the site. No one's really gone beyond that in terms of a business model, as far as I've seen.
No.
But the notion that the belief maybe that advertising will have too much of a direct impact on the editorial has forced them, or not forced them, they've consciously gone down this decision to have kind of a gate-kept place that people can subscribe to. But then in return, the subscription fees will then a percentage of them, I'm assuming, go directly back to the writers, depending on the clappage.
Yeah, clappage is the key. But I think also, I don't think it's just a case of being, morally opposed to the advertising or saying that it's, impinges too much upon the content. I think it's also just the reality that, having worked for publishers in the past, both in an agency sense and actually as an employee, I know that for them anyway, the advertising model wasn't working in any way.
Mm-hmm.
And, however grand the scale you have, it never seemed, the finances never seemed to make sense. The bottom line never seemed to work out for them.
Yeah.
And I think that it's a reality that, two realizations. One is that for the major publishers, it's not working. But also, if you're a small author, and we've talked about this sort of sponsorship model before, haven't we?
Yeah.
Which I suppose is a variation on a theme of advertising, which is
true.
That
yes.
It's somebody whose values align with you decide to be a sort of patron.
Yes,
And provide you with the finances required to do what you do, normally in a creative endeavor. So I think they've also realized that finding that and doing that work when you're a small creator on the web is actually quite a lot of work, and it's quite difficult to do, and it's a different skill to being an author or being a podcaster or being a YouTuber. So I think that those are the two motivators, isn't it? But I don't know whether, I still maintain that, for me anyway, I don't know whether this applies to our listeners, but for me, it's too niche. I'm not going to dedicate monthly money to, the two articles I might read on Medium a month, or a week.
Yeah.
It's just, and anyway, I find that Medium articles tend to be, you know, whilst they tend to be trying to push into the think piece type territory, they tend to be relatively superficial, at least these days. So again, I don't know what value I attach to that.
Do you think this is, especially given that some of the fee, the subscription is going to go back to the authors, this isn't necessarily going to help revenue for Medium, is it?
I'd say it's probably more about, in the similar vein to Vimeo, who had the tip jar scenario, which failed and they closed that. I'd say that this is probably just a means by which to show that they are a commercial entity and that, you know, that they have value, as opposed to massively, you know, being a massive source of revenue.
Yeah, interesting. So I'm not really sure. I haven't read too much more since its launch. I've had a couple of emails to request to be a member so that I could publish gatekept content. Not that anyone would really read it, but yeah, we'll see.
Well, that's also the question, isn't it? That's also the question, is that these people have to have the followers or have to have the audience to warrant having gatekept content.
I'm sure. I mean, just looking at the sort of the splash page for it, the membership page, medium.com/membership, no surprises. A lot of the names there you see are people that you will have heard of who probably published and then either syndicated across to Medium and have got quite a following. I mean, people are doing some, you know, regular writing, really interesting stuff on there. It'll be interesting to see, like, obviously 37 Signals, as was Basecamp Now, publish on there exclusively their blog. They a lot of contributors. It'd be interesting to see if they go down the route of sort of, you know, having some of that for member-only content, or a lot of these people have moved over their publishing platform to Medium in recent times. See if they, you know, start putting some stuff behind the wall, if you will, just to see if that works.
Yeah, and I can see that there are people, you know, I can see that there's a designing for virtual reality, for example, which is kind of like a serialized piece of content that's been put into a collection, and there's an audio chapter for each part that they're publishing. And, you know, clearly I can see that working for people who've already got, you know, a following for a subject matter. So if you're big in the virtual reality design world and people are following you for that, and then you put out a, you know, a 5 or 10 part collection on Medium and for members only, then I could probably see you driving some traffic there. But then, you know, in the same breath, why wouldn't you, you know, use any other, you know, commerce platform? You know, Gumroad, for example, you know, when they were at their height of their powers, as it were, they were the go-to for this kind of thing, weren't they? You know, you publish a short series and you take a small fee for it and get digital files downloaded.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know why you wouldn't just use one of those platforms. Why would you require someone to sign up to be a member?
I'm not sure.
After your series is over, it's difficult.
Yeah. It is. Well, it'll be interesting to see where it goes. It's kind of staggering how long Medium's been around now. I think it's like 6-7 years, isn't it, in total? It's always interesting when you get the updates from Ev on what's going on there. I mean, obviously, I'm sure they're just directed to me personally, no one else.
Yeah, you and Ev, like, yeah, that.
Go way back. Did you notice also that talking of Ev, Biz is now back at Twitter? What do you make of that?
Well, did we talk about this?
No.
Didn't we?
No, not last week, no.
I thought we talked about this. We talked about whether it was just like a token gesture, or whether he had actually something to contribute.
Well,
whether it was like a sort of jobs for the boys thing, or whether it was a...
Let me check. Yeah, obviously, it's only a week ago, so...
It's not that long ago we talked about this.
Yeah, I think... No, we haven't.
I wonder who I talked to about this on a podcast.
We may have. You've been doing another podcast
behind your back.
What? Unbelievable. No, we talked about What Adapts. We talked about Drew Wilson's Cave Week last week.
Yeah.
And Skype's doing funny things since we in the last week. Skype's changed. It, I turn off notifications and all I hear is all these strange sounds in the background. So
it's very odd.
Apologies for that getting picked up. So yeah, I'll ask you again, Kieran. What do you think of Biz going to back to Twitter?
Well, as I just said, I don't know whether it's a genuine move or whether I read an article about it when it first happened, and it was didn't he go back and do a talk?
Yeah,
he went back and did a talk, and then Ev said, you know,
not Ev, Jack.
Oh, God, yeah,
it's all first names Jack, in that company.
Yeah, when Jack said, you know, why don't you come back and do something? We'd love to have you back or whatever. And he went away and thought about it and thought about, you know, what he'd want to do would be company culture.
Mm, that's it. The energy, yeah. The feeling. Yeah.
I'm a bit confused about company culture. I get it, and I've worked in companies, and some of the culture in companies has been amazing, and some of it's been appalling. So I get what they mean, but I find it hard, the idea of someone being able to like create a culture, you know?
Yeah. As in, there isn't one. Let's create one.
Yeah, well, obviously there already is one. It's, you know, by its very nature, you know. But someone defined it to me. I think it might have been someone I was talking to at Shopify, and it was something about how your beliefs align with your actions within the company. Is that right?
Sounds good.
Yeah, I mean, and it sounds really good. It sounds like a great goal. I just. You know, I think people conflate it with foosball machines and, you know, weekly manicures and all that sort of stuff.
Nothing wrong with a meekly mani-pedi.
A meekly manicure.
Well,
yeah.
Geez, no, I think you're right, though. I think it has kind of got peak culture, hasn't it? Which is the cliche of the, you know, the oversized Lego heads, the foosball table, snacks on tap. I think you're absolutely right. It does go beyond that. And I think as companies grow...
I think a cultural person would say to you that you know, the snacks on tap, for example, is about, you know, our belief that we should look after our staff, and that, you know, we should feed, you know, maybe not the snacks on tap thing, but the lunches or the, you know, meals provided, all that sort of stuff is about providing their staff with healthy options.
Of course. No, you're absolutely right. So much so now that the unhealthy crisps / chips are hidden away in drawers at HQ now. You have to really hunt them out, yeah. It's all about the nuts and the protein.
It took me ages to find the nut cupboard, I have to say.
Did you find the nut cupboard?
I did, yeah, it's under the stairs, mate.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, though, for anyone out there who may or may not work at Shopify or intends to or would like to, Toronto office, they have the chocolatey covered raisins. In dark chocolate and white, the yoghurty one.
Out of like free vend or
yeah, the one where, you know, you get a little bowl
and turn it.
Yeah. Oh, they're dangerous, man. Seriously.
So are the jelly babies, actually.
No, I see. I've never been into jelly babies.
You're not a jelly baby man?
Do you bite the head off first?
Yeah. Obviously.
I suppose if you bite it in half, it's hard to...
Yeah.
You know, so butt first or head first. But yeah, culture. Yeah.
Yes,
I don't know.
Culture.
He's doing culture there. So, and he's filling the Biz-shaped hole. Yeah.
Yes, but then, you know, maybe it's the sort of thing where he's going to have a massive impact internally. Maybe culture's gone really sour there, because I got the feeling like after a bunch of redundancies and stuff that maybe it wasn't the nicest place to work.
Mm.
So maybe he, you know, felt this was where he could have an impact.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. Just need Ed to go back now, and then it's, you know.
Yes.
Back to the good old days of the internet.
Well, I kind of gave him a job there, didn't I, just earlier? You know, I inadvertently used his name, so.
Yeah, perfect. There you go. Yeah. Putting the valley to rights, Kieran Masterton.
Masterton.
Well, that's what I have to say to Siri.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's my son discovered Siri.
Oh, no.
Yeah. He took... he kept asking Siri about... iPad games, and she wasn't very knowledgeable.
Oh, really?
No.
You thought that'd be full of the upsell.
I know. Yeah, it's like feed and grow fish. This is his game he wants, and she knew nothing about it.
That's good.
Yeah,
because that could be very dangerous, couldn't it?
Could be. Yeah. But anyways, yeah, we shall see. You know, maybe next week we can talk about some JavaScript frameworks or some grid layouts or something.
Really?
Yeah, because we're really into
web-y
that.
It's for us, isn't it?
But isn't this a web-based show?
Yeah.
It's kind of not really...
Well, you could throw some APIs and stuff. And,
yeah.
You know, That'll keep the listeners happy.
I can say restful a few times.
Can you?
Not in relation to your mani-pedi.
No.
Yeah. Talking of APIs.
Oh, yeah.
We are going to introduce a new feature now that we're recording every sort of 6 minutes, every 7 days, whatever it is we're doing now. Got a new thing for you next week.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not going to tell you what it is. You just got to be prepared. I'm going to put you on the spot.
How can I be prepared for something I don't know what it is?
That's very true. So I just don't worry about it is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, right, okay.
You'll be absolutely fine.
You
might look a bit silly, but, that's part of it.
That's normal.
But because, obviously, I'm considerably older than you, you're much closer to the youth culture.
In it, bruv.
I'm going to be testing you on some stuff. So, yeah.
Oh, wicked.
Be warned, listener. But before we go, so Kieran can delve through his boxes and find his proper microphone.
I know. This time next week, it will still be this microphone, just so everyone knows.
Unbelievable. I'm going to have to buy you a new one, bring it around.
Oh, my God.
Again, the third one. they get ruined in every move. That's the problem. It's not dog tech. It's beer tech. Are you ready?
What? Yes.
Yeah.
Go.
Brewery DB.
Brewery DB. Yeah. Right.
Actually, I wonder if that's... I've written it in the show notes there. Because I thought maybe it was like doing the www, but I actually just think I've spelt it wrong. So forget that. Just Brewery DB.
It's Brewery DB.
Yeah.
And you've got a speech impediment.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so this is the API to end all APIs. It's a beer API.
Wow.
Yeah. So you've got the Brewery DB API. Then you can interface into your beer apps, and then you've got your users. I mean, it's genius.
Wow.
Yeah. A vast collection of data can be accessed via our free API. We want to encourage you to build the most awesome beer application with the most reliable data. I mean, this is brilliant.
Wow.
What do you think?
I'm browsing the developer page as we speak.
Yeah. Oh, and of course, it's got a style guide.
Of course.
Can you flame
a product? That's interesting.
But you can also, maybe you could throw ingredients at it and it will give you back beers that can, the possibilities are endless.
Yeah, so a bit like IMDb, I suppose, you can claim a product on there. You're the brewer, and you can submit that you are, this is yours, and gives you access to write back to it.
Oh, no, listen to this. They've got a great endpoint here for the beer object. Represents all beers in Brewery DB. So you can get beers, post beers.
Uh-huh.
Delete beers, get beers by ID.
Obviously.
You've got IDs for glassware. So I'm guessing you can sort of say, what the ideal piece of glassware for that particular beer, do you get that returned?
Yeah.
Style ID.
Wow. I see there's a status value.
Oh.
All the main status attributes of the brewery DB. Beers, breweries, guides, events, and locations have status fields associated with them. Because Brewery DB is a curated service, these status fields give API users hints as to what state a given entity is in.
Brilliant.
So you can be verified, unverified, and new, or update pending.
Interesting.
Oh, this is a lot of this is dense. They've really thought about this.
I like this. There's also an endpoint for glass as well, so you can have can return flute, goblet, mug, pilsner, pint, snifter. That's a glassware called snifter. Stange, Stange. Never heard of that. Tulip, Weissen, oversized wine glass. That's one for my mum. Villy, thistle, and that's it. Who knew?
They've got an event API as well, I see.
Interesting. What's this for?
Awards, categories. It's all events around the beer world.
This, honestly, when I found this, I started thinking, maybe I found my calling.
To build an app?
Yeah, I'm surely PHP 4 can help us achieve our goals with this, no?
PHP 4. There's a yeast endpoint.
A yeast. Oh, this is brilliant. Look at this. Displays the yeast that are available to be assigned to beers. Ferment temp min. Anyway, so Brewery DB, absolutely incredible.
Clearly, I expect our listeners to have built apps with this by the next time we record.
Clearly this, yeah. I mean, what if, like, you know, we built an iPhone, sort of an iWatch, whatever it's called, app that somehow detected what you were drinking.
Right.
And then, like, popped up a review, and you could then enter it in.
How does it detect what you're drinking?
Doesn't the new Apple Watch do that?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll look into it.
I thought that was an X feature.
Yeah?
Yeah, could be.
Beer recognition.
Beer recognition, is that not? Or is that facial recognition?
It's just similar, I guess. You know?
I think so.
Same logic. Yeah.
Anyways, do check it out. Brewerydb.com. It was started by a company called Pint Labs. How brilliant is that? Unbelievable.
I reckon they came up with their name before building this or after.
I'm not sure. Oh, you can upload beer labels.
Hang
as
on,
well.
It's Steady Serve Technologies LLC.
They were bought out by Pint Labs. Were bought out. Come on, read the about page fully.
Sorry. Unparalleled beer management.
Unbelievable. Yeah, you're not allowed to put bottle photos or photos of labels. You actually have to sort of scan up the actual labelage as well. This is incredible. Anyways, we'll put the link in there. There's also some good beer resources linked up there. Craft Beer 101.
Indeed.
And have a good read and get your APIs out and have a play. Yeah. Can't think of much better to do on a Thursday afternoon in autumnal England.
Yeah.
Good times.
Knock up some curl requests.
You've probably got a little wrapper for that, haven't you? In your terminal.
Wow. No, I wouldn't need it, would I? Because curl's kind of just there in the terminal.
Is it? Still?
Yeah.
Never goes away. But anyways, that was episode 47.
That was.
Yeah. At least one side of this conversation sounds good. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, clearly mine.
Yeah. But hopefully your home office, resplendent with Lego head, big Liechtenstein posters on the wall, will be complete for the next recording.
Yeah. We've got to convert the shed first. There's
a shed.
It's a stone shed in the garden that we're going to convert.
A stone shed?
Yeah, well, you know, like an outhouse type thing, building.
Well, this I have to see. Maybe I'll get an invite one day.
You know you've been invited.
Okay.
You're just so busy.
Yeah, it's a long way anyway, Boa.
All of 12 minutes.
On a train, longer in the car, all those windy roads.
True.
Yeah,
true.
Anyways, it's been great having this conversation only a week after the last one. So
it has, yeah. I'm glad we're regular again.
Yeah, it's nothing like being regular.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll be back next week in another 7 days. And
indeed.
Maybe we'll talk about media. Maybe we won't. Probably not.
Hopefully not.
No. Well, yeah. But yeah, until then, enjoy pressing the big red button. And I'm going to try and eradicate the thought of you being Carol Vorderman from my brain.
Nice. Okay. Enjoy.